Today's guest considers himself a firm believer in the healing power of nature. He has written several books about the lessons and wisdom taken from trails. His book, Forward, Upward, and Onward, was written after completing the 48 of the 40,000-foot peaks of New Hampshire. Moving Forward followed shortly after and replicated the lessons learned on these trails, not just in New Hampshire, but across the United States. Matt Landry, welcome to Papa Bear Hikes.
Martin, a pleasure. Thank you.
Matt, I really enjoy inspirational stories and people that journal them and turn it into more than just a walk in the woods. And it sounds like that's what you've done here. But before we talk about the books, I'd like you to first tell us a little bit about yourself.
Geez, you know, it's again, firm believer in nature and firm believer in the healing power of nature. I've always been around. I've been super lucky. I've got a mountain in my backyard, basically, as it were, that I hiked even as a kid. I've always enjoyed the outdoors. I've always enjoyed, I don't think I ever connected it basically to healing as time went on. Like a lot of other people, I had some mental health issues when I was very young, a lot of depression. I went through it again as I turned 40, and we'll talk more about that with Forward, Upward, Onward. And I really learned that the power of the outdoors and the power of getting outside and walking and moving and just seeing that healing power of nature and being a part of it all was an enormous benefit to me, for sure.
And Matt, this is a conversation I've had with a lot of hikers and outdoor people that, you know, when we allow ourselves, when we go into the outdoors, it can be transformative, right? And we don't go out there with the intention of finding ourselves or learning something about ourselves, but when we allow ourselves to be in the moment and enjoy the sights, the sounds, the smells, it's almost, I call it like a mental cleansing.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. It's and to me, it's sometimes we don't realize how small our problems really are when we magnify them in our head, obviously. And when you get out into a bigger place, you know, on top of a mountain, or, you know, you're seeing trees in nature, we do, you know, and I'm not trying to get woo-woo by any means, but I believe that we're a part of all of that, right? We become ourselves again, I guess, in going out there and really connecting with all of that. But once you get on top of a mountain or the Grand Canyon or any of these cool places and you're looking around, or the stars at night, right? The glimmering stars in the Milky Way, you kind of realize, the hell was I worried about? It's, you know, life is precious and short, but I think that's also the healing power of nature, you know, for sure.
And Matt, you've hiked the 48 4,000 footers of New Hampshire, and they're well known. You know, we have the Adirondack 46ers here in New York, and we've got the Catskill 35s, but up in New Hampshire, you guys have the 4,000 footers. What inspired you to go out and hike the 4,000 footers?
You know, and I'll go back to what I was talking about when it came to depression. I've always been a hiker. You know, I've always gotten out into the woods. I always enjoyed the smaller hikes. As I started getting into some of the bigger ones, and I did a couple of quite a bit of 4,000 footers before the official project. As I turned 40, I went through a major depression, a brutal depression. And you know, when you're going through a depression, it's looking back and regret at a lot of things. And there's a lot of, you know, medically induced versions. I still think mine was self-induced, as it were. So as I turned 50, I thought to myself, I needed to do something that was so big for me, so out of the box, that was kind of a giant goal in my mind and in my eyes, that I needed to sort of tackle, right? And for some reason, the 48 4,000 footers are the ones that just stuck out as the obvious. They're not easy. The nice thing about a challenge or a goal like that too is that each individual goal of the 48, and it was less than 48 trips, because obviously I did a couple of peaks on certain trips, but just the goal of getting up and getting back down again was a fulfilling goal of that time or the day, right? And putting it all together as a big goal is even bigger. So as I turned 50, I guess short answer is that I needed something big to sort of shake me out of having to consider going through that again. It's always the decade years, it seems like, especially for folks that might go through depressions, right? I don't know what it is. So that really, and it did, it helped to cure a lot of things. So that's why I chose the 48. I thought, you know what, if this doesn't shake it out of me, I don't know what will.
Well, Matt, your message strikes a chord with me. I went out and hiked the Long Trail back in 2017. And Yes, it was that drive of, I'm going to finish this. And, I don't know if I want to characterize it as a midlife crisis or just something about that. I felt like I needed to accomplish it. I needed to, something I said, I could say I did in the outdoors, other than just getting out and hiking occasionally. And it felt great when I finished. Honestly, I say that because, it doesn't need to be 48, 4,000 foot peaks in New Hampshire or the Adirondack 46. Find something near you. And if you're struggling with something, whether it's depression or you feel like you're lacking a sense of accomplishment, find something near you that you can go out and do. It works.
It does work, and that's a really good way of putting it. People always ask me, what's, I don't know about a lot of the rest of the country, but New Hampshire in particular, New England in particular is really big on their list, right? There's a 52 with a view. Those are the below the,
Right.
there's the 67, the 100s. As you said, there's the 46ers, and people always ask me. I do a lot of presentations, and always say, well, "What's your next big project?" And I always say, lists are all done for me. That was kind of a one and done. I do have some projects I'm working on that I'm having fun with that we can talk about later, but as far as the lists are concerned, like finished, like I don't want to do the 67. I don't, it doesn't matter to me. The 48 was healing and cleansing enough, where I got out there and got out of my system, as it were. It's probably a good way of putting it. It was a super difficult for me, a super difficult goal that I was very, very proud of, but something I'm also willing to happily put in the back burner. And now I hike to hike, I have a blast. Somebody will call me up, but I'm not. The problem with the list a lot of times too is somebody will call you up and just say, hey, do you want to do Mount Eisenhower, Mount whatever it is. And so I already did that one. Why don't we pick, so you get weird on your list because you got to sort of pick and choose what you want to do because you haven't done them yet. And I don't, none of those are, somebody called me up, I'll do Eisenhower 3 times in a week and it wouldn't bother me. It's it's kind of a little more relaxed pace at this point, which is kind of cool.
I've been that way with the Catskill 35s quite a few times when I was doing that list. I'd say, okay, I'm done with it, but then somebody else say, hey, I need to do Slide Mountain, we'll say. Wanna go? Of course I'll go. Yeah, because I just want to get out and hike. And I had a situation this summer. I wanted to do the Adirondack 46. And I was out there and it was raining like hell. And it's still fun. Person to hike with was a good friend, somebody I enjoy being around. But I just found myself saying, am I up here hiking this just to say I did the Adirondack at 46? Yeah. How important is that?
Yeah, I mean, there comes a point, and there's nothing wrong with that. If that is important to you, that's perfectly fine. And I kind of went through that phase for a bit, but I'm kind of over that now. I'm really hiking just to enjoy hiking.
Yeah.
I just took a beautiful trip out to the Grand Canyon recently, and I just pottered more than anything else. It's still my sort of my another healing place for me. And I really didn't take any or post any pictures on social media. People kept saying, well, when are they coming? And I said, well, I left my camera at home and my phone. I left the phone in the car, and they kept saying, well, how come? Like, it's the Grand Canyon. And I just said, I don't know, man. I just wanted to enjoy it. It's not, it's all about sometimes just stepping back and just leaving that crap, in the car and just living it for the moment, right?
Was that your first trip out west to hike?
No, good grief. No, I've been blessed. I've been out there quite a bit. I wrote a book on the Grand Canyon, as a matter of fact, called Casting Your Troubles into the Grand Canyon. I hiked it a few years ago. When COVID kicked in, I kind of found myself like a lot of other people. I'm an introvert at heart, although I love people. I've always dealt with people. But instead of sort of running scared and putting, pulling the covers over my head, and that's one of the toolbox lessons I've learned, obviously, going through through a lot of depression, is that I just really needed to put my foot down and create something. So I actually wrote that book in like a week and a half. It was a short, quick book to get out of my system and out of my soul, as it were. But that one came out of nowhere. And as a writer, the muse sometimes when it hits you, it's like run with it,
Yeah.
So yeah, I've had the opportunity to really go out there quite a bit and experience it. It's such, obviously I'm in New England, you're in New York. It's such a different environment out there. It's just, it's so cool. So you either love or hate the desert in some ways, and I absolutely love it. It's just, it's magic to me.
I took my first hiking trip out west, believe it or not, 2 years ago. All my hiking had been on the East Coast, most of it in the Northeast. And I went out and hiked the Tahoe Rim Trail, or about 90% of
Oh,
it. And absolutely loved it. Oh, it
yeah.
was just just, and you know, and the funny thing is I met somebody from out there and I was telling them how much I loved it. And they said, well, I really want to go to Vermont and hike the Long Trail because that sounds like it's beautiful to me. And we were kind of laughing about that, but you know,
Yeah, you
they
sometimes
envy what we have out here and we envy what
right,
they have.
you want what you haven't got, you know, and people don't realize too that's, and I know there's many people that poo-poo it, but you know, when they talk about 4,000 footers, and this is not a bragging moment, you'll agree with me on this one, is that Northeast mountains are tough. I mean, I've hiked some 14,000s that were easier than a lot of the 4,000 footers and you know, and the 5,000 footers out here between the granite, you know, it's rough, it's straight up, you know, they didn't fool around with switchbacks back then, you know.
No.
There's some tough trails out here, man. So when we talk about 4,000 footers, they're not walks in the park, you know.
No, that's interesting because when I was out on the Tahoe Rim Trail on the California side, going through the Desolation Wilderness, some of those summits were over 9,000. A couple up, two of them were over 9,000 feet.
Sure.
But I'll tell you what, some of those 3,500 footers in the Catskills felt like they were more difficult.
Yeah, no, that's just like
Because
I
you're
said,
going
there's just
straight
something.
up. Yeah.
Yeah, and the rugged terrain, right? You know, what I
Yeah.
will say about hiking out west that really still thrills me quite a bit is that there's a good and bad to it. There's far less attention you need to pay to your feet a lot of times because it's a lot of them are flattened trails. Right, there's not a lot of rocks, there's not a lot of obstructions, as it were. So to be able to look at the view around you, you know, I mean, when I'm hiking in the Northeast, and you might say the same, like I forget to look up now and then because I'm so busy looking at my feet. It's like walking over rocks and boulders, and like every step is like an ankle biter. You know, you could break a leg on the next step. And when I was out west, like I was just amazed at like I could just you really view the beauty around me, take it all in the whole time I was there, you know.
Yeah, that is a real big difference. You're right. And out on the Tahoe Rim Trail, you didn't have those little, you didn't have to worry about a root jumping out at you, you know, or those your foot sliding between two rocks. Yeah, it's a much
Yeah.
different experience for sure.
Roots are tough, man. Every time I take somebody new hiking, I'll sidetrack a little bit on this one. I always warn them about roots going sideways because people don't realize how slippery they are. Not just when you step on them and your feet slip, but a lot of times those you'll slip sideways and automatically your hands go forward because you're not used to sliding, slipping back and forth. And that's when most injuries actually happen, stepping on a root and falling sideways. Your brain doesn't acclimate to the fact that you're slipping sideways and not forward.
And you're right. People underestimate how slippery they could get. And, you know, one of my things, what something that happens to me more often than I would like is my foot will get caught on the roof, that root that's kind of protruding there. And, you know, the toe of your foot just kind of
Oh
snags
yeah.
it as you're lifting your foot up. Matt, you've written two books in particular that I'd like to talk about. You wrote about these are about your experience while hiking the 4,000 footers in New Hampshire. You have Forward, Upward, and Onward. That was your first book. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it was you know, it was kind of an accidental book. And a lot of people laugh when I say I became an accidental author. I started writing it as a blog, right? It was a very healing experience for me to get out there and really hike these mountains. So I sort of started a blog, and the book is just kind of based upon like I went up a mountain, I came down, and like what lesson did I learn, right? And I talk a little about the stories about the hike itself. It's not a guide by any means, or you know, it's a guide to life maybe, but not a hiking guide necessarily. So I started creating these. I had written a book before that and self-published it. A year before that. So I started writing the blog on this one. And somebody just said, well, when's that one coming out? And I just said, that's, you know, who the hell's going to read this? I said, it's not something I'm really thinking about putting up as a book. You know, it's just kind of a blog that I put out there to sort of for my own, you know, lessons and my own learning, as it were. And a few other people just said, well, yeah, you already got it written. I mean, if you're kind of already putting it down, why not release it? So that's kind of the premise of it in a nutshell. So about after the 30th peak, I really had it in mind that I was going to release it as a book, and it was important to me to release it. It was important to get this project done and release the book before I turned 50, obviously, because that was that big decade year that I was talking about. So I released it on December 19th, which is coming up. Actually, the anniversary is coming up, which was my 50th birthday. So yeah, it was a unique opportunity to put something out there that I didn't think was going to really hook or resonate with a lot of people that has. So I was very, very, I'm still humbled by it, you know?
And with this book, you said, you know, it started out as You didn't set out with the intention of writing a book, but as you went along, you started coming up with these stories. What are some of the topics you touch on in the book?
We'll be back after a quick break.
You ever think about what might be in the water you're drinking every time you fill up your water bottles while you're in the outdoors? I try not to, and I really don't because I use Sawyer water filters. Sawyer filter technology, because of their high standards, every filter is individually tested 3 times through their process. I've been using their permethrin product for years now to protect me from, well, quite frankly, ticks, and the picaridin to keep the flies at bay. Don't let bad water, insects, or a tick bite cut your trip short or even ruin it. Use Sawyer products. Go to your local outdoor retailer and ask for Sawyer products, whether it's a water filter, insect repellent, they're likely to have it. You can also go to Sawyer's website and read more about these incredible high quality products that they offer those of us who enjoy the outdoors.
It's a little of everything. And it's funny that, you know, that anybody that goes out and hikes enough, if you reflect long, and it was a good lesson reflecting to me, because I sometimes halfway through a hike, I would, it's amazing. Your thoughts clear, right? Your head's not buzzing. There's a lot of things that come to you very, very easily. Right. So there was a lot of lessons that I learned along the way that I would kind of hook on to and then think about it a little bit more as I went. But yeah, some of the important lessons or some of the things that you can pull out of this are facing your fears, right? Grit, determination, perseverance. That there's a lot of that in this book because, man, there was a lot of days. I mean, White Mountains are a 3-hour drive for me. There and back, and I didn't stay over any of the nights. I banged out a mountain and I'd come home. So I'd drive up to the trailhead and I would just sit at that trailhead going, I don't know if I'm ready for this. Like, I don't know if I can't tackle this or if I want to. I don't know if today's the day. I don't know if I this, I don't know if I was that. So there was a lot of self talking in there, just saying, yeah, give a quarter mile, turn around if you want, or give it another half mile. Or there was a lot of facing of fears in this. And I say that because anybody that's read a guidebook, and there's not knocking any guidebooks by any means, sometimes the descriptions are absolutely horrendous, like dangerous. They're using words like, you know, difficult and, you know, and a lot of these are, I'm not knocking that by any means, but a lot of times when you're finally done the hike and you come back and you think, and there's not a brag, but it's like, it actually wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be, right? You know, the description was a lot worse than I really pictured it to be, you know, and, you know, after that sleepless night the night before and tussling and tossing about, you know, getting that hike out of the way, and it was going to be a tough one. And a lot of them weren't as bad as I thought they were going to be. So there's a lot of facing fears. There's a lot of comfort zone scenarios, like a lot of hikers would say, you know, within safety reasons, obviously, you know, safety guidelines. So the book's a lot about that. It's a lot about coming into my own, as it were, you know, and it's said, I think it's been said, probably Hillary said it, but I'll paraphrase it the way that I kind of came around it, is that, you know, it's my goal was to sort of conquer these mountains, but, you know, I conquered myself is what I came down to. Was I didn't conquer anything. The mountains are still there and they'll always be there. But you know, when you're done a big project or, you know, even one big hike, never mind, you know, a goal of that magnitude, you've conquered yourself at that point. You've really conquered a lot of fears and you've really pushed forward, you know?
All right. Yeah. We don't conquer nature. The truth is nature will kick our ass and win every time.
No question. Absolutely no question.
Were these solo hikes, Matt?
A little of everything. I actually still prefer a solo hike. It really does get my mind clear and it really does give me a focus. Again, I'm an introvert at heart. I mean, I was a retail manager for years. I've always worked with the public in big spaces. So to get out there alone is very important to me. It is alone time that I need. But I did take quite a bit of people on a lot of these hikes. Sometimes they were just one-on-one. It wasn't like these giant groups. But I did, about half of them were solo, about half of them were other people that I knew. And that was part of the cool experience of really going up there with a lot of people, different people, obviously, and how they encountered, you know, their first 4,000 footer was the experience a couple of times, which was cool. Some of them have done the 4,000 footers, you know, 4,000 footers several times, right, over, you know, but I was able to hike with them and get their experience from there and their take on it. And it was cool. Yeah, there was a lot of neat people that I was able to meet up there and get to know a lot better, right? I've often said that going up on these big mountains is like being in the army is a strong way of saying it, but you're going into battle, right? And you've tackled this together. And how many people have you hiked with before that you every time you get together for a beer or a cup of coffee or whatever it is, oh, remember that time we did Mount whatever, and oh, it was raining, and it was so you, there's that camaraderie that's involved with that you don't get with many other things, right? So that part of it's pretty cool. I still talk to most of them, if not all of them, and we still bring up those moments and those times of the time I fell or the time of this, or you know, there's always these cool moments in a hike that you can kind of bring back again, you know.
Yeah, I can relate to that. Two guys I hike with are great. We've been hiking together as the three of us since 2015. And Special K, we go back to the days when I was we were both volunteering with the Boy Scouts. We would go on outings and backpacking trips together. And yeah, that's what happens, really. You form a bond that I think you only forge when you're out there in the outdoors doing these type of hikes, for sure.
There's no question. And the hiking community it's a hiking community. It's not, I've never encountered one that's quite as diverse, but strong, right? It's, you know, it's a genuine family, you know, it's,
yes.
you can meet somebody for the first time and hike, you know, and get 10 miles under your belt with them. And by the time you come back, you're best buddies, you know, there's a very common bond that's involved there. You might be different people with a very common bond.
Yeah. And I've seen that with many of my multi-week hikes that, you know, within a few days, you're hiking the same direction with somebody at the same pace. And you're like, it's like you've been buddies for years. Right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And people, I don't know, it's like sitting at a bar for some reason, and you know, and you're talking to the bartender, there's just a freedom about being out there. And again, and having that mental clarity that you talk about things you would never talk about, you know, in a lot of other places, you know, I mean that in a good way. It's not, there's a lot of hopes, fears, and dreams that have really been, for me anyways, both ways, that have been discussed on a trail like that, where you're when you're out in nature, it just seems to open a lot of things up, and which is cool, which is why there's a lot of programs out there for folks that you know, for hiking now. They're really getting the scientific reasoning for this out there, that a lot of therapy is done on the trail now, right? People head out there for their therapy sessions, there's a reason for that, right? Your endorphins and serotonin's flowing and all that, but there's just something about the clarity of being out on a trail and being able to bare your soul a little bit more.
The way I see it, we're not wired to be indoors. We're supposed to be outside. We learn better when we're outside. We're more attentive because as humans, we're part of the animal kingdom. We're supposed to be outside. I think the best therapy takes place while you're outside because you're more focused. You're more in the moment.
I completely agree with that.
Just my opinion, not a professional opinion, but that's my take on it.
Likewise, I'm not a professional on anything that I'm talking about by any means, but it's all self-taught and self-learned. So,
right. But that's what the two of us have is experience, positive experiences from it.
Oh, very much.
In your second book, Keep Moving Forward, tell us about that.
That wasn't an accidental book necessarily, but when Forward Upward Onward came out, it became very popular. It really hooked people very well. And again, something I never expected was a lot of phone calls just saying, hey, could you do a presentation on that? So I did well over, 150 presentations out and about and all over the place about this book. And it finally, I kind of, you know, to do the presentation, I couldn't talk about 48 peaks necessarily and 48 lessons as it were, however many were in the book. So I boiled them all down. So during my presentations, I would sort of have like the top 10, you know, and I kind of presented those and, you know, what were the most important lessons to me kind of thing. And I extrapolated a lot more because I had a lot more hindsight at that point after the whole thing was done too. Again, I finished my last 48, the last 4,000 footer in October. The book was out in December, right? So I didn't have a ton of reflection on the whole thing. So putting a presentation together, I did. So this book came about of like the top lessons learned, sort of pulled out of Forward, Upward, Onward, but extrapolated over the whole course of the country. You would ask if I've done, you know, a lot of hiking on the West Coast, and I luckily I have, you know, between Zion and the Canyon, and so I included a lot of the references of those hikes and places in the United States as well, with sort of the top 9 lessons learned on the trail, you know, taken from Forward, Upward, Onward in a much different light, you know, it was with a much, much more reflective eye on it, right? It was not kind of in the moment of like, I hiked the mountain, here's the lesson. It was the lesson, the big lessons in general. And I extrapolated and thought a lot more on those and wrote about them. So that's the way that one came out.
And Matt, it sounds like this is therapeutic for you, but it also sounds like it could be inspiring for people who read it.
Yeah, I would hope so. I mean, and that was, I ultimately, and I know you've written a book as well. Ultimately, I write a book for myself. When it really comes down to it doesn't matter to me if it sells. It's great if it does. But ultimately, if it helps somebody else in the long run, there's no question. I really hope they're inspiring in some ways, but I really do write them. There's a this I learned a long time ago, there's something to be said about vulnerability, right? About admitting or talking about things that either trouble you or bother you, and not in a a snide way, obviously, that it becomes complaining, but to be able to bare your soul a bit, maybe is a better way of saying it. That has really helped me. It's been therapeutic to me because I don't know how many times somebody just said, "Oh my God, I'm the exact same way. Oh my God, something's happened." I know somebody that's been through the exact same thing. So that's kind of my way of really bringing that out into the world of letting people know maybe they're not alone. Depression can be a very lonely thing that you've got, that anybody can go through, obviously. So this is kind of my version of that. Maybe putting that out there to just say, maybe you're not alone thinking of this. And although they're considered sort of hiking books, when you look on Amazon or anywhere that I sell them, they're always in hiking categories, right? But they're really not hiking books. They're really, hikers can gonna hook onto them a little bit more because there's something that resonates a little extra with them. But anything that's in there is really these lessons are beyond the trail, right? They're not lessons that are exclusive to being outside or hiking.
Matt, I agree with you. I think, we all have our struggles and we all have different ways of dealing with them, but when we hear somebody else is having a similar experience, a similar thought, normalizes the situation for us a bit and helps us put it into perspective. And we could say, hey, I'm not alone. I'm not the only one going through this.
Yeah, it's just weird. And it's not, the generation before me, and this is not a knock on anybody by any means, didn't speak about so much, right? There was nothing that was just admitted. It was almost like a fault of yours if you admitted that you were feeling blue or that there was certain medical conditions or but just they just weren't talked about or certain things were just taboo. And mental health is something that I've really spoken very freely about because I don't know. I again, it's just it's such it's an it's no different than breaking an arm or it's not mental health is just another condition that it has solutions to, and I guess and it's incredibly prevalent right now, obviously, but the more we talk about it, the more people can kind of hook onto that and just say, cool, there is solutions, there is hope, there is a light at the end of the tunnel, there is all these things that it's solvable, it's or it's livable or whatever it is, it's. For somebody just to hear that, I think sometimes is super important, myself included, right?
Well, I think, we could be reaching a point where generationally we're transitioning. Our generation, people in their 50s, are now becoming those authorities. We're realizing the importance of addressing mental health, because that's something I've talked about quite a bit on this podcast. I've had people on that have worked for different charities that have dealt with mental health issues through outdoor therapy and getting outside. It's something that I think has been ignored, and for the reasons you said, right? Well, we just don't talk about those things. And one thing we should know is that not talking about it does not make it go away, does not make it better, right? Your broken leg doesn't heal if you pretend you don't have a broken leg.
Yeah, completely right, Martin. Completely right.
And Matt, do you have any more adventures coming up? We'll talk about adventures first, and then I'm going to ask you if you have any more books you're working on, but let's talk about any new adventures coming up.
I can kind of answer that question two ways, and that's it's not a big official adventures, no. And that again, that's okay. With that said, though, having a mountain in my backyard. When COVID kicked in, luckily I haven't been through depression in years and years and years. That's another question people ask me a lot. And I've had bad days, obviously, but the depression itself has lifted a long time ago, luckily. So, I'm in a great place. But when COVID kicked in, I found that there was still sort of a trauma involved with it. I don't know how else to word that. There's an official word I think folks have used is called languishing, right? We didn't have really high or low periods during that time. We were all wearing masks, we couldn't see each other's smiles, we couldn't go places. And I'm not knocking, this is not for or against any of this, but it was an odd period in our life, right? Kids were going, zooming on school, and so I found myself in kind of an odd funk. It wasn't a depression, but I was languishing, right? So I decided that I might get some hiking therapy back in there, and I might head back up to those 4,000 footers and try and get have some fun with those without doing a list necessarily, but I thought, holy smokes, you know, it's, again, that's a 6 hour drive. And that's just, it's, you know, it's, I've been there, done that in some ways. And I have a small mountain in my backyard, as it were, called Mount Wachusett. So the next project that I kind of came up with, and I just said, you know, instead of doing the 4,000 footers, why don't I just hike the mountain 100 times? So the next book coming out is called One Mountain, 100 Summits. And it's kind of the same premise, right? What lesson did I learn on a much shorter basis, obviously? Which lesson did I learn, you know, during the course of that day? So that one's actually coming out very shortly. I wanted it out by Christmas, but it's not going to happen. So that's something I came up with about a year ago. Again, it wasn't like 100 days, 100 hikes kind of thing. So that was kind of the adventure that I just finished, as it were. I said I'd never do lists again, but this one was more like, you know, again, just blogging and kind of writing my thoughts down as time went on for a mountain that I had. And you talked about doing mountains, you know, a certain amount of times, 5, 6, 7 times. You know, obviously I've probably done this mountain 1,000 times. It's a different mountain every single time I hike it, which is one of the biggest lessons I've learned out of this, is that it doesn't matter where you go and what you do. It doesn't need to be this epic, you know, giant thing. It's what you have in your backyard, right? Is what you got. So that's my next project. That's coming out, like I said, probably the end of January. I had a lot of fun writing it. It was a super healing experience. I really got to, you know, exercise. I always used to say, and I don't mean exercise. I mean like exercise. You know, a lot of the stuff that's inside of you really comes out. But it's funny, even after writing all these books about healing and hiking, and there was a chunk that went by, and I don't know if you've done, you know, you've been like this in your life as well, like for months went by and didn't get out and do anything, right? And I thought to myself, holy smokes, like, you know, I was wondering what the, you know, the solution was going to be, and I'm very solution minded these days. And I thought, get out and hike, you know, do what worked for you in the past, do it, you know, do what really works in general. So that's my next project. And I guess that's the adventure I just finished. And right. So I have nothing official in the books yet. I'm heading back out into the Vegas area. I've already booked it for next November, believe it or not. So I go for a writer's conference every year, but I always make sure I go a few days early, and I'll hit Zion or I'll hit Grand Canyon. People don't realize, I think, how close those are, and have some fun with that. So yeah, there I said it.
Yeah, just whatever inspires you. That'll be your next adventure. But that sounds great. You're hiking the same peak 100 times, but it's so true what you're saying about each time it's a different experience. And I've said this about, you know, there's been peaks I've hiked in the Catskills where I say it was tough and I'll say, okay, it's done, I'm not going back. But I go back and it's a different experience every time. It's maybe with different people or different weather, different season. It's a different experience every time.
It's a much different experience. Yeah. And it's, you know, and it actually gets more enjoyable as time goes on. This mountain's cool because it has a series of different trails to the top. It's not like a one up and down kind of thing. So it's 2,006 feet, right? So it's a smaller mountain, but there's 17 and a half miles of trails on it. It's a pretty popular mountain in this area. But there's always a loop or something crazy I can do, or some different version of what I can do to, and it has an auto road at the top, you know, so there's always packed full of people, you know, in the on season, obviously. Off season, it's nice. I walk the auto road a lot of days, to that point I was talking about, no rocks, no roots, you know, so, yeah, it's definitely been, and I can't wait to get out there again. Right. So it's been an incredibly eye-opening experience how different, every single time has been up going up. And even if it's the people I meet. Right. That's because that always changes. That's not always the same people you meet, or a different animal, or, you know, there's always a cool story to tell from, no matter what you do, how many times you've hiked the same place.
Speaking of stories, I always think, you know, there's always a good story, right? There's never a wrong turn. We never get lost. We wander. Okay. No mishaps, just good stories come out of everything. On that note, did you have like a biggest fear when you started hiking these peaks, or when you started hiking in general? Or is that one thing that kind of almost paralyzed you about what you were getting into when you were hiking?
Yeah, you know, it's
some people, it might be bears, might be snakes, it might be getting lost. Did you have that thing that was really had you scared?
No, none of those actually bothered me. They never have. Like I always, like, I love, you know, moose encounters. You know, I'm drinking my moose cup now. Moose encounters and bear encounters. I love all that stuff, man. I live for that stuff. Weather never bothers me, right? None of that stuff. I think the only thing that really bothered me was the physical ability, right? I'm in my late 50s now, but at that point I was getting up to 50 years old, which is far from over the hill. So before anybody just says, oh, it's not old. but you know, there is physical limitations as you near 50. You know, I'm not an athlete by any means. So, which is, you know, maybe, you know, if anything you wanted to take as the most inspiring part of this is that, you know, an old fat guy was able to get up these mountains, you know. It was the physical limitations, I guess. You know, was I going to be able to physically get up these mountains and not be out of breath or slip on wet rocks? And, you know, I mean, as you get older, you know, you're more careful about your footing and things of that nature. And was it going to be a hand over fist kind of thing in a few areas? And you know, was I going to have to butt slide down? And those were the scariest times for me, I guess, or the scariest thoughts in general. Everything else really didn't bother me. You know, it was that kind of stuff was no big deal to me, but that's the kind of stuff that still concerns me. Like genuine, like, you know, am I going to injure myself? Like that was my biggest fear, probably.
That's a legitimate fear.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I, right. You know, as you and I were talking before the podcast, you know, there's a real limitation to what goes on in nature, right? It's not, and I, you know, you got to respect it because and you can go down in a heartbeat. You know, luckily, I've never, you know, nothing's really happened. You know, I've sprained my ankle once in 25 years, right? I think I made up for that sprain for all the other ones though. But I've been super lucky, but I've fallen plenty of times, and I know that and we all know stories of somebody that either they get rescued or pulled down or something happened, and you know, accidents happen, man. So yeah, I think that's always been my biggest fear.
Right. And you talked about going down, you know, those peaks, you know, out here in the Northeast, right? There's no switchbacks to get up there. So when you're going down, going up is always a lot of fun, right? You're scrambling, you're climbing up there, but going down, well, that could be pretty scary, right?
No question, man. It can be an absolute slog. In most cases, people think that going down's faster, but in some of these really rocky areas, it's a lot slower. I mean, it's you train yourself as you get older, but you train yourself to turn around and go down things backwards. And like I said, butt slide. I'm surprised I didn't rip the pants, you know, the back of my pants up 100 times. You know, guy, no pride for that kind of stuff. But yeah, you find yourself making your way down however you need to safely. And yeah, the Northeast has its own rhythm of coming down a mountain for sure.
Yeah. Matt, where can we buy your books?
You can get them a couple different places. They're Amazon is always the classic example. Look up Matt Landry, they'll all be on there. I do have a couple other non-hiking titles as well. One about happiness, one about, I wrote a book on depression, managing depression. You can get them through mattlandry.com, my name, obviously. They're all available on there, all available through paperback. The signed copies are available, obviously, if anybody wants to my own website, by all means. But the Kindle and paperback versions are available on both.
Matt Landry, if we want to follow you on social media, how can we go about doing that?
Facebook is, I wouldn't say is my exclusive, but it pretty much is my exclusive. And that would be Facebook, Matt Landry Author. I have my personal page as well, but Author is my business page, I guess you would say. So Matt Landry Author, that'll have any events that are coming up, I'll list on there. I try to post as many inspirational things as I can on there on a regular basis. It's a very positive-minded social media. So by all means, yeah, if you want to pick me up for the day, follow me, please.
And we'll be sure to put links to these sites in the description for this episode. Matt Landry, I want to thank you for coming on here and sharing this very inspirational story about these two books. I have one on my Christmas wish list, so I'm looking forward to reading it. And I'm looking forward to the next book coming out and having you come on and talk about it.
Oh, Martin, I would love to. Thank you so much for having me. I enjoy the podcast, and man, I just love being here.
All right, everybody. Get outside, have some fun, and do your best to stay warm. It is getting cold out there. Thanks for listening. If you haven't done so yet, go to our website, papabearhikes.com. Listen to past episodes. Check us out on social media. Go to our YouTube channel, Martin Outside. All those links are there. In addition to that, you can buy our book or see what you're missing out on if you're not a Patreon member yet. Remember to get outside, have fun, and be safe. This episode of Papa Bear Hikes has been brought to you by Avalon Publicity. Avalon Publicity, increasing the digital footprint of content creators and skilled professionals via website development and social media services. For more information about Avalon Publicity, go to their website, avalonbusiness.org. That's avalonbusiness.org.